too blessed to be stressed, somebody said. Hallelujah. You got me on, Brother James. I feel like I'm on without a microphone. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't know if I can preach or not. I just feel like shouting a little while.
Amen.
Running the bases. Amen. I'm telling you, God has been good. Thank you, Brother Todd. Good to have you in church this morning, son.
Amen.
Appreciate Brother Todd. They have them goofy protesters, and if you disagree with me, you're wrong. You ask one of them cats what they're protesting, they ain't got a clue. All they want's their fair share. I don't want my fair share. My fair share's an eternity in hell. I don't deserve nothing. Amen. We're living in a world that wants something for nothing. I got a job for, I got a word for you, Mr. Protester. Job. Amen. Government don't owe you nothing. Amen. But Brother Todd, our son-in-law, our piano player, he's a City of Atlanta law officer, and they've got him back on 12-hour shifts again because of the junk going on down there. So you pray for him. Amen. Appreciate the men and women who protect us, don't you? Take your Bible this morning and go with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. If you'll find it's right after, what's it after, Brother Freddie? Amos, Obadiah. Obadiah, right toward the end of your New Testament, somewhere in there, you'll find it, the book of Jonah. Listen, a couple of Sundays ago, we preached about the Lord's little donkey. How many of y'all remember the donkey message about the donkey? And we preached on that little donkey. Last Sunday, we preached on Peter's rooster. How many of you were here for that? I got to get rid of a cough drop. I apologize. I'll spit it on one of these guys on the front row if I'm not careful. Last Sunday, we preached on Simon Peter's rooster. Simon had denied the Lord. He denied him three times. The Lord told him, he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Early that morning, Peter heard the rooster crow, and it brought conviction, and Peter got right with God. Our message was that the crowing rooster was Simon Peter's preacher. Amen. Let me say it again. The crowing rooster was Simon Peter's preacher. That rooster preached a message to him. To everybody else in town, it meant get up, night's over, it's a brand new day. But to Simon Peter, it meant you went against the Lord. And you need to get right. And we related that rooster crowing to what we do when we hear the message from the man of God. Amen? We've got our camp meeting coming up. What is a camp meeting? It's revival. We've got a revival meeting coming up this Wednesday, and we're going to hear lots of good preaching. Amen. I believe God will lay the message on the heart of every man. I've not told one man that's coming to preach what to say, what to do, how long to take, nothing. All I've did is invite them. I trust that they're in touch with God enough that they'll pray and ask God what I need and what you need. Now, that's their responsibility. It's not my responsibility to give another man of God a message. It's his responsibility to get on his knees and get the message. Amen. I had the privilege this week, and I appreciate you allowing me to do that. I hadn't done it since my son went away to college. We got to go on a hunting trip together and had a wonderful time and just had some time in a tree stand alone and just begin to think about what God would have me do. In other words, I did my job. Are you okay? I did my job. I sought the Lord for what He would have me say this morning. That's my responsibility. If I preach a bad sermon, you won't have to answer for that. I will. If I miss God's leading on Sunday morning, that's between me and the Lord, right? But now, you also have a responsibility. Now all through our camp meeting, we will be responsible. Y'all excuse my throat. I saw Brother Freddie not feeling good this morning. It's affecting me. Amen. You will be responsible for what you hear. It's hard to scold a child for doing something he did not know. I got one, brother. Thank you. It's hard to scold a child for doing something he did not know was wrong. Had a little boy in our school one time. Brother Freddie will remember. A little girl in his class made him mad. And he lit out to cussing her like a sailor. I don't mean he called her a fatty or a ugly or a dummy. No, it was bad. I won't even abbreviate or give you letters. I mean, he let her have it, son. We got the little boy in the office, if you'll remember, but they said, he needs a paddling. And I said, wait a minute, he's five. Let's talk to him a second. I said, what did you say? Blah, 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 blah. He just blurted it out. And I said, do you know what that means? He said, yeah, that's what daddy says to mama when he's mad. Remember that? We called the dad up. Little boy had no idea. Little girl made him mad. That's what you're supposed to say when you're mad. He did not know. He did not know. So I called and scolded the daddy. I'd like to have paddled him. Y'all all right? We are responsible not for what we don't know, but for what we do know. In other words, the more of the Bible you know, the more responsible for it you are. Every sermon you hear, you will respond to it in one of two ways. In a positive light or in a negative light. I've watched it. I've been pastoring this church now for 18 years. There are some people that will hear the Word of God and they'll respond to it in a positive way in by coming to Christ with whatever the problem is. Others will cross their arm and say, not today. Yeah. Wrong response. Wrong response. If I go to the doctor, I'll get to the message in a minute. It'll be brief. And when I go to the doctor, if the doctor says, I went last year about this time, and I've been praying it wouldn't happen this year. I got strep throat. Y'all remember that? That's as sick as I've ever been, I think, in my life. And I hate a needle with a passion. How many of you like needles? If you do, you crippled too high for crutches. I hate them. And I went in there, and the doctor gave me a prescription, and I thought, yeah, I'm all about prescription. I can swallow real easy. She said, wait a minute, preacher, before you go, she said, I want to get something to kickstart these antibiotics. I said, what do you mean? She said, I mean put your britches down around your ankles and bend over. Exact words. I said, oh, no, we don't need no shot. She said, do you want to get well? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, assume. I won't go all the way, but y'all know. I looked over my shoulder and here she come. It looked like one of the arrows off my bow and arrow. I mean, I know it wasn't this big. That needle looked that long, and it looked like a plunger, son. I thought, oh, my soul. I said, nah, this ain't happening. She said, do you want to get well? And you're at the point where shoot me or help me. I chose shoot me. I bent back over that bed and said, let her rip. Oh, bad choice of words. She didn't go, she went pop. I said, wow. You know what? I felt a little better the next day. I could have walked out of there without a shot. And maybe died of strep throat. You don't have to receive the message this morning. Amen. That's your choice. You're a free moral agent. But you are responsible for what you do with it. Amen. I'm trying to lead up to our meeting this week, not just my preaching, but you ought to respond right to mine too, by the way. Yes. It is God's will for me to be here. Amen. Some of you may have doubts, but I'm settled 100%. Yeah. Amen. You are responsible for the message you hear. Now listen, we're going to look at Jonah. How many of you know who Jonah is? Jonah was the one who was swallowed by the whale. Yeah. Amen. I heard scientists say that it wasn't scientifically possible. A teacher was teaching in her class one day, and she was talking about the great fish in the sea, and she said, you know, they say in the Bible that a man was swallowed by the whale, and this is not scientifically possible. A little boy raised his hand and said, God don't need science. Amen. I asked a man on a deep sea fishing boat one day. I said, I'm not asking this because I have any doubt. I said, I'm just wondering what you think. Could a great whale swallow a man? He said, man, he could about half swallow this boat. I said, all I need to know, amen? So Jonah was swallowed by the whale, spit back up, if you know the story, and he went and preached and did what God told him to do. But he was swallowed by the whale for one reason, because he did not respond correctly to what he heard. Amen. Amen. How many times have you ever told your child to do something and they did not do it, and that led to punishment for the child? Now, do you seriously think God's any different? The Bible said he chastens who he loves. In other words, he whips his children. He don't put them in time out. Y'all all right? Oh, how dare you spank a child? How dare you not? Read your Bible. Amen. The Bible said if you'll beat him, you won't kill him. That's what it said. If you spare your rod, you hate your child. I always thought that meant your daddy wouldn't loan you a 69 Camaro. I found out that rod wasn't a car, amen? Now listen, Jonah did not respond. I want you to watch some things right here, and I'm going to get you out of here as quickly as possible. And here's what I want to leave you with, or what I want you to leave with this morning. I'm responsible for what I do with every sermon I hear. Every message from God. How does God give you a message, by the way? How does God speak? Some of the charismatics and the people on television says he talks in an audible voice. I've never heard him. Well, lady here, oh, she ain't here today, is she, Ryan? Lady here a couple of weeks ago. Just making sure. A couple weeks ago, dear lady just had got out of a mental health center Saturday night before she stood up to testify. She said, I got out of the mental ward last night. She said, late last night, my phone rang. She said, guess who it was? It was God. Now, God's never called me on the phone. He has my number, no doubt. Amen?
Oh, yeah, he does.
I'm just saying, I want to show you how God speaks to his people and his children this morning. It's not by phone call. God will speak to you in one of a few ways. It'll be mainly through the Word of God. Somebody said, God never talks to me. He wrote you a book.
Amen.
And it's a pretty big one, too.
Yes, sir.
Covers every area of your life. You want God to speak to you? Open the Word of God. It's so King James Bible still works. I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen? Amen. God speaks through His Word. But then God will speak through His preacher. This wasn't my plan. I didn't just decide one day I want to build a building, get a bunch of people to come so I can holler at them. No. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. That's why this whole county around here says that guy's crazy. That's what they think about preaching. Amen. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a motivational speaker. I am a preacher, a man of God. And God chose the foolishness of preaching, what the world calls foolishness, to preach the Word to His people. So when you hear the message, you're not hearing from Eddie White. And by the way, that is my prayer before I step to this pulpit every time. I've been in Pike County, Illinois all week. I've had a great time, spent some time with old friends, and just really enjoyed myself. But I prayed before I left the office this morning, God, help my people not to hear from Pike County, Illinois. Help my people not to hear from Eddie White this morning. Help them hear from heaven on high.
Yes,
amen. I am a puppet this morning. I am God's mouthpiece. God gives it to me, I give it to you. But that don't mean you can't get it yourself. You okay? Some religions, and we're not kicking them, I'm just stating facts this morning, they think you've got to have the priest to get anything from God. Not hardly. We have a high priest, and his name's Jesus Christ. God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His preachers. God speaks through His people. Amen. You ever been praying about something? And maybe you do get a phone call. It's not God, but it's a child of God. And out of the blue, they just say something that triggers in your mind, and there you know the will of God. Kind of a sign, if you will. Amen. The Bible said, iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man the countenance of his friends. Brother, I've had God speak to me through God's people I don't know how many times. But God does still speak. Notice verse number one, I told you I'd be quick. I've got to hurry, hadn't I? If I'm going to get you out of here by 12 o'clock, we might as well dismiss so you can forget 12 o'clock. Amen. Jonah chapter number one. Now watch this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying. Now what happened here? God spoke to Jonah. Now I don't think God no more spoke to Jonah than like he speaks to me. Sitting on a deer stand, the word of the Lord came to Eddie, saying. turn to the book of Jonah, and I'll give what your people need. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now what he's doing, he's telling Jonah his will for his life. He said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. What he's telling him? He's telling him to go preach to them. For their wickedness is come up before me. Now I want you to notice something. I want you to notice in verse number 1 and 2, the requirement of God. Did God clearly speak to Jonah? Y'all don't die on me. Did God speak to Jonah? Jonah, I want you to go to a town called Nineveh and preach to them, for their wickedness is... You reckon the wickedness of America has come up before God lately? Come on, what do you think? We got children being molested left and right. We've got teenagers. I'm talking about 12, 13-year-old kids hooked on methamphetamine. You reckon God's upset with the wickedness of our nation? I believe God's crying out to America, to some men who will stand up and cry against it. I told our parents in our Sunday school time this morning about the pressure of society on our children and how society's pushing our children. They're teaching our children that it's okay for girls to kiss. Girls. Boy, don't die on me now. One of the most popular songs of them little girls is I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. Well, I kissed a girl and I liked it too. Y'all all right? I'm telling you, it's time to cry against it. Somebody ought to have backbone enough to stand up and say it ain't right. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. It's still a husband and a wife and children. That constitutes a home. Well, okay, I'm just giving it to you. I didn't invent it. I didn't write it. He did. The requirement of God. God's word came to Jonah. Now listen, I'm more responsible than Jonah was. Y'all okay? Why? I have a whole lot more of God's word than he did. I have a whole lot more of God's word than he did. And every one of us, the Bible said, to whom much is given, much will also be required. We've been given a lot. I don't know if you understand it or not, but we are living on the very buckle of the Bible Belt. We're living in an area that is gospel saturated. For anybody within 200 miles of where we stand to die and go to hell without God is without excuse. Y'all okay? Let me make that statement again. It's harsh, I know. But for anybody within 200 miles here, maybe bigger, I'm trying to hold it tight. To die and go to hell without Christ as their Savior, they're without excuse. We're living in an area where there is a church on every corner. Y'all okay? Why? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God has made the requirement. John chapter 3, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Y'all listening? Yes, sir. He said in Romans, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Why do I need to be saved? He also said in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. Are y'all listening? But if a man will believe in his heart and confess with his mouth, y'all hear what I'm saying? We have a requirement to meet. Oh, I want to go to heaven. If you ask the question on the street, Brother Freddie, and we've done it thousands of times, would you like to go to heaven when you die? I've never had anybody tell me no. Now, I've had them tell me, if I ask them where you're going when you die, they'll say I'm going to bust hell wide open. I've had them admit that. I've never had anybody tell me they had no desire to go to heaven when they die. Not that I can remember. If I were to go over here and ask Brother Jason, do you want to go to heaven when you die? That's where your daddy's at. He'd say, sure. Every one of us. But to do that, there is a requirement that must be met. Amen. When God speaks, God is giving us a requirement. God never asks, what do you want? God never asks, what's your plan? How would you like it? God says, this is how it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Now, Buddhism says you can do it this way. Mormonism says you can do it this way. The Jehovah's Witness says you can do it that way. Are y'all following me? Yeah. The Muslims say you can blow yourself up and do it that way. Yeah. Help yourself. Yeah. Need a lighter? You say, you're mean. No, I'm honest. If you look to this world, they'll give you every way in the world to find salvation. Amen. But Jesus narrows that thing down. You know what that is? That's far less confusion. Yes, bro. Yes. That's far. Well, let's see, I don't know what to do. I know the Buddhists say this, and I know the Muslims say this, and I know these say this, and these say this, and I don't know which way. Oh, what's the Bible say?
Yeah. Amen.
What's the authority on the matter say? What I'm saying is God left the requirement.
Yes.
God, and even after salvation, God left a requirement for our life. Several years ago, I guess it's been, I've been here 18 years, probably 23, 24 years ago, God called me to preach. Not only did He save my soul, but God gave me a requirement for my life, not just my eternity.
Amen.
Amen. And God's gave a requirement for your life. It may be to be a faithful church member and a prayer warrior. It may be to be a good giver, to help the church, to keep the buses rolling. I don't know what it is. I don't know what God's will for your life is. I know what mine is. God gave me the requirement.
Yes.
This is what I want you to do. Now, here's what my mom, where's mama? There she is. That's my assistant pastor. Amen. I was raised in a single-parent home. She's not really. She thinks she is. Don't tell her no different. I was raised in a single-parent home. Mama worked two jobs. We had a babysitter from the time we got off the bus till Mama got home. And boy, if Mama came home and she could tell the babysitter had been crying, it was bad. One day, the babysitter's boyfriend broke up with her. And she cried till Mama got home. I got my tail tore up. She just assumed if the babysitter's crying, Eddie's been bad. But Mother would always leave instructions. When I get home, I want this done, or I want this done, or I want this done. I got more whippings for not cutting grass than you can shake a stick at. I still hate it till this day. If you enjoy it, come see me after church. I can hook you up. But Mama would leave instruction. You know what Jesus did? He left instruction. He left instructions. He told His disciples, He said, I'm going away. He said, when I come back, I'll receive you unto myself. He said, but while I'm gone, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
There's your job. He said, go, teach them, and baptize them.
Yes.
You know what He said? Go preach to them, teach them, and baptize them. What He's saying is, you build my kingdom while I'm preparing it for them.
Yeah.
In other words, the church has the requirement of God.
Yes.
He did not say, go start a jazzercise program. He did not say, have little para groups and cell groups. We okay?
Yeah.
We're supposed to evangelize the lost.
Yeah.
You say, man, that's all y'all think about. That's the main thing.
Yes,
I mean, we got the biggest loser club around here. We got the biggest loser club. And they're in competition on who can lose the most weight. I'm not against that, but that ain't the main thing.
That's right.
That ain't the main thing. We have water balloon battles with our bus kids. That's wonderful, man. That's awesome. That ain't the main thing. I don't know what month it is. Sometime, spring, summer, we have Roundup Day, Cowboy Day. I get to bring my horse up here and preach off my horse. Tell me that ain't cool. I mean, I cowboy up. We have a gunfight with fake bullets. That's cool. That ain't the main thing. The main thing is to meet the requirement of God and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God gave Jonah a requirement.
Amen.
Would you agree? He didn't say, Jonah, if this gets your calendar and if this fits your schedule, if you have time and if you don't mind, I want you to run down. Now don't inconvenience yourself.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Now don't miss ball practice. Don't miss t-ball. Don't miss your lodge meeting. And sure don't miss deer hunting on Saturday. But if you have time, I want you to run down to Nineveh and preach a little message for me. He didn't ask him that. The Bible said, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, arise. Y'all got that? There was a quiet requirement by God. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 starts with that little word, but. Y'all know what but is? It's a conjunction. It means what's fixing to be said is going to be totally opposite than what was said previously. God said, arise, go to Nineveh, preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But, watch what Jonah did. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We notice the requirement of God. Quickly, I want you to notice the rebellion of Jonah. The rebellion of Jonah. We by nature are rebellious. What is rebellion? Going against what you know is right. You understand that? Going against what you know is right. I have one of the most rebellious spirits of anybody I know, so I'm an authority on this figure. When I was that big, I mean tiny, my mother would spank me till she cried. She would say, "Don't touch that," and I'd go. See, I told you. And she'd spank my hand. I'd poke my lip out. She said, "I told you don't touch that," and I'd go. Telling me no is like a dare. I mean, my wife does not dare say, "Don't you buy that new bass boat." She knows it's been in the driveway. That's just like, "I dare you not to do what I say." You know what I'm saying? That's our nature, isn't it? That's our nature. We're rebellious. Sit down. Shut your mouth. "I don't want to." My wife took our grandbabies to the playground yesterday. And our oldest, Hayden, he was up in a swing set, jungle gym, whatever it was. And it's one of them my wife couldn't fit in to go get him. She said, "Hayden, come down. It's time to go." He said, "I don't want to go." She said, "Hayden, I can't come up there and get you. Come down." I don't want to go. Do you notice she didn't ask him what he wanted? She gritted her teeth like Granny can do, amen? Yeah. And she said, "You come down from there, I'm going to whip your fanny." He said, "You going to whip me?" She said, "Yeah." He came down. Oh, yeah. Amen. Our basic nature. That's great-grandmother right there. Our basic nature, when God says go, our basic nature is no. Because oftentimes when God asks us to do something or God gives us a requirement, we're afraid of how it's going to encroach on what we want to do. Yes. On our lifestyle. Amen. "Well, preacher, I know I need to get saved and I want to get saved, but I'm afraid of what I'm going to lose and what I'll give up and what people will think." See, that's rebellion. Yeah. What I didn't realize when I got saved was the greatest day of my life. Yes, what I didn't realize when I was thinking I was going to wind up bass fishing for a living, when God told me to surrender to the ministry, I didn't lose nothing, I gained. Yeah. Are y'all listening? Amen. What I didn't know that what God was calling me to do was better than catching a 10-pound bass.
Yeah, brother. Amen, preacher.
Y'all listening? Amen. I catch maybe 1-2 10-pound bass a year. Brother Anthony, we caught several last year, didn't we, brother? I mean, we had a good time. You hear me shout all up, "Woo!" Yeah. How dare me come to church and be quiet? Amen. Y'all listening? Right. What little did I know that what God was calling me to do was way better than that. We went to a NASCAR race, Brother David. We were there at the Nationwide race in Atlanta. We was in pit row. Old Kevin Harvick and several of them famous people walked by us. And old David said to me, he said, "Brother Eddie, that'd be cool to do that for a living, wouldn't it?" You know what my response was? If he remembers, I said, "It's almost cool as what I get to do." What we don't understand is what we're rebelling against is what's going to really bring joy and happiness in our life. We notice Jonah's rebellion. God told him what to do, and he went the opposite direction. Amen. You say, "Well, I wouldn't do that." Many of you are right now. You know what God's will is. You know what God wants you to do, but you're going in the opposite direction. We're going to hear preaching this week from some great preachers. I don't mean run-of-the-mill. I'm talking about great men of God. I'm talking about men who walk with God, and we're going to hear from them. There's no doubt Brother Doug Fisher will come in here Wednesday night and preach to the heartbeat of this church. Are we going to go the other way? Are we going to find us a boat headed in the other direction? When we hear the gospel message and we're not saved, we don't know if we're going to heaven when we die, are we going to jump in a boat going the other way? Are we going to run from God or are we going to run to God? You see, every sermon is an invitation. Come. Come. Not to me. Come to the Lord. Not come to Happy Valley Baptist Church and join her. No, that's not it. We're trying to get you to the Lord, the one who can really help you. We notice the requirement by God, and then we notice the rebellion of Jonah. Now, I want you to watch the results of Jonah's disobedience. Disobedience always results. Are you listening? always has results. Disobedience never pays. Disobedience never pays. My son, where's he at? My son, thick-headed, and there's no doubt about it. We almost put him on the short bus to go to school. I mean, really. But he was smart enough to figure out this one thing. When I lie to Daddy, it's really bad. But no matter what I do, if I tell Daddy the truth, I get away with it. Son, did you do that?
Yes, sir.
What do I do now? You know, I'm already get the paddle, boy. Bend over, assume the position. It's going to hurt you worse than it's going to hurt me. I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to deliver that discipline to my child. Son, did you do this? I sure did, Daddy, and I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Don't do it no more. Come on, somebody help me. Can I get a witness? It's hard to whoop a kid who tells on himself. Amen. The results of disobedience never works out good. I want you to notice verse number 4 and 5. Verse number 4 and 5. Jonah is in the boat with some people headed out of town, going the opposite direction that God had sent him. Look at verse number 4. I'm almost done. The Bible said, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Now I want you to notice something very carefully. I'm going to give you three simple little thoughts right here about the effects of disobedience. It not only affects you, it affects those around you. What Jonah didn't understand in his running from God, in his disobedience to the God, that he was pulling others into his situation.
Yeah. Amen.
He got in a boat and bought a ticket on it with a boat full of men. His disobedience put their lives in danger.
Yeah, that's good, preacher.
Have you ever realized as a parent that your disobedience to God may put the lives of your children at danger? It may put their very eternal salvation at danger.
Amen.
Listen, I've had moms and dads, couples in our church, get upset, get angry over some decision that I've made whatsoever, storm out of the church, we're never coming back. They wind up out of church. Mom and dad are saved. Are y'all listening to me?
Come on, preacher.
If the Lord came, they're going to heaven. Amen. If they die, they're going to heaven. But they walked out of here with little fellas. And instead of raising them in church, they decide, well, that didn't work for us. We're going to raise our kids at the ball field.
Yeah,
What happened? The parents' disobedience has brought the children into their condemnation.
Amen.
Regardless of what happens, mom and dad's going to heaven. What about those children when they reach the age of accountability? Where are they going to hear the gospel? Where are they going to hear the Bible preached?
Yes, sir.
In other words, my disobedience affects everybody around me. And your disobedience affects everybody around you.
Amen.
Amen. I remember when the Lord called me to preach. And I didn't think I wanted to. I saw myself doing something totally different. I used to didn't wear suits and ties. I wore Liberty overalls, Wolverine boots, and a Husqvarna chainsaw hat. Kept a can of Copenhagen right there in the bib of my overall. Country Boy Can Survive, that was my theme song. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This wasn't my lifestyle.
Yeah, brother. Yeah.
This did not suit me.
Yeah. Amen.
During that time I was running from God, trying to get out of what God wanted me to do, I was miserable. And you know what I did? I made everybody around me's life miserable. You know what they said? Here's what Priscilla Presley said. I'm almost done. Just hang on. Y'all know who Priscilla Presley is? That was Elvis's wife. They interviewed her in, Brother Jenkins said, was it Life magazine, Brother Freddie, or Time? I believe it was Life magazine. Shortly after Elvis's death, they interviewed her, and they asked her why she thought Elvis was so miserable that he needed all the drugs. Here's what she said. She said he could never have any peace because he knew in his heart that God called him to preach the gospel. Are you listening? That is not her exact words, but it's close. What was he doing? He found a boat going toward Nineveh.
Yes, he did.
It led to fame.
Yes, it did.
It led to great riches. Yes. I've toured his airplane, his jet, Brother Freddie, and walked through it. I've seen the mansion where he lived. Notice that was used to. But all that stuff couldn't buy his happiness. And his rebellion affected everybody's life around him. Are you listening? My rebellion, your rebellion, or disobedience, if you like, if that word's a little softer, if that's all right with you. You okay? There's just something about an obedient child, isn't it? Ashley, our oldest, probably the easiest child to raise that's ever lived. All I had to do was just look at her. But if she'd cow her down, she did something else too, but I don't want to embarrass her. If I yelled at her, but if she had an accident, I mean, it was that she was just so timid, so tender. Amen. And you know what? She got about anything she wanted. You said, you spoil her? No, I'll reward her. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Was you spoiling her? No, I was rewarding her.
Amen.
I believe God rewards His children.
Amen.
When they're obedient. His disobedience resulted in how it affected other people. It also affects our testimony. It also affects our testimony. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Notice that capital G there. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. Listen now, these are pagan people. And they realize that God is punishing them because of somebody in that boat. And they're going to gamble to see who it was.
Amen.
We're going to use the tarot cards. We're going to throw the dice.
Yep.
We're going to see who it is that's causing this dilemma. They cast lots. Listen. And they said, so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah.
Yes.
Then said they to him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. Brother, he's telling them who he is and what he is. Then they're saying, buddy, your God must be upset with you. Are you listening?
Come on, preacher.
Don't you think the world looks at us a little differently? I told the guy the other day, he asked me what I thought about something, some little sin, not a major deal. And he said, Brother Eddie, do you judge me for that? I said, no. He said, would you do it? I said, no. He said, if you were in my shoes, I said, probably. I was just being honest. But I'm not in that position. Sometimes held to a little higher standard, maybe too high, I don't know. Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Brother, this storm at that sea spoke volumes to the men on that boat.
Amen.
It affected his testimony.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It affected everybody around him. It affected what his life meant to everybody else. And lastly, and I'm done, it affected him.
Yes,
it affected him. Some people seem like they nurture and nurse a bad mood. It's like you enjoy being grumpy and a sourpuss and a grouch.
Yes.
I despise it.
Amen. Yeah.
I get so mad at myself for being in a bad mood. I don't like it.
Yeah,
it's stressful.
Yes,
preacher.
It gets my blood pressure up. It makes me make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And I know when I'm not right with God. You know how I know? I ain't happy.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all all right?
Come on,
I know when I'm not doing right. Why? Because I ain't happy.
Right.
Nothing looks good. Amen. None of you look good. Sorry, bunch of wicked people.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
It's not you. It's me.
Yeah.
It wasn't the men on the boat. It was Jonah. You know what Jonah said? Best thing for y'all to do, chunk me in the water.
Yes.
He didn't know there's a fish out there. Best thing for y'all to do to save your lives, throw me overboard. Have you ever had this thought? My family would be better off without me. No, they'd be better off with you.
Yes.
That's a cop-out.
That's good for you. Amen.
I've actually laid in the bed and thought, boy, as hot as my wife is, she could get her a rich old geezer and take care of her. They'd be better off without me. You think that's God putting them thoughts in my head?
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Amen, preacher.
This church would be better off without me. Do you know how often that thought comes in my mind?
Yes, amen.
Just throw me out. No, Jonah, won't you just get right with God?
Yes, amen.
Jonah, throwing you overboard's not the answer. Here's the answer. Y'all want the storm to stop? Turn around.
Yeah. We're
going in the wrong direction. You see, I'm supposed to be going toward Nineveh, and God's mad because I ain't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have said ain't, probably, but. The right response wasn't throw me over. To Jonah, that did not mean his salvation, friend.
Come on.
It meant his death. Jonah didn't know he was fixing to meet Whale the preacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
God wasn't letting him off that easy.
Huh. Yes, sir, brother.
There was a requirement by God.
That's good, brother.
God said, Jonah, I want you to do this. Jonah rebelled and said, I don't want to. You know why he didn't want to? And I'm done. Brother Todd, please come to the piano. That'll help me shut up. You know why he didn't want to? He didn't like them people.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Amen.
You better be careful about your prejudices. You better be careful about looking down your nose at another class of people. That may be who God calls you to.
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Amen.
Jonah said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I don't like Nineveh. He didn't ask him. There was a requirement. There was a requirement by God. By the way, some of you prejudiced people. I hope every black person in heaven is your neighbor. Amen. That's good preaching. I hate these Mexicans. I hope they live next door to you in heaven.
Yeah.
Hope they invite you over for burritos every night. Jesus died for them too. I ain't talking about the illegal immigrant issues. I'm talking about their soul. Yep. Jonah, God don't like Nineveh. Rebellion. God, I don't want rebellion. God, I didn't ask for this rebellion. God just simply gave a requirement. Jonah decided not to do it. The results, it affected everybody around him. It affected his testimony. It affected his own heart. Sure did. Thank God for grace. I believe that whale's name was Grace. I believe that whale's name was mercy. How many of y'all ever been thrown in the mouth of grace? Thrown in the hands of mercy. You knew what God wanted you to do. Jonah said, kill me. God said, no, don't kill him. Convince him. God prepared that great fish. You ever seen a bass suck in a minnow? Boy, it's about that fast. It's like a vacuum. He sucked old Jonah up. Jonah said, I don't think he knew it was a fish. I don't think he knew where he was. He said he's in the belly of hell. I believe he thought it was over. Amen. They said, ain't nothing make a whale sick worse than a backslidden preacher. The grace of God had that whale throw Jonah up on shore. Guess where it threw him up? just down the road from Nineveh. Remember, he was going in the opposite direction. How many days' journey was it? Was it three? 3 days' journey, is that right? I mean, just down the road. God said, I got you close enough, now let it rip, Doc. Can you imagine him coming into town? They say he's probably bleached his skin from the acid in the whale's belly. Fish vomit in his hair. Seaweed. He had to be a gross individual. And he come town preaching like a wild man, I guarantee you. He didn't want no more of that. Some of you are struggling. Some of you are fighting. You may not be literally in the belly of the whale, but spiritually and physically, you are. I want you to surrender this morning. Just say, okay, God, I give. I'll do it your way. This week in the camp meeting, why don't you just say, okay, God, you know best. If that's what you say, that's what I'll do. You're going to find happiness, and you're going to find joy, and you're going to find out God was right all along. He knows exactly what he's doing. Let's stand to our feet this morning. They're going to get ready and sing for us. But before they do, I wonder if we could just bow our heads just for a minute this morning. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's one here this morning to say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure. If I died today right where I am, that heaven would be my home. I'm just not sure. Brother Eddie, would you pray for me? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. Ain't nobody looking around. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure. I know God's requirement is to be saved, to trust Christ as your Savior. But I don't know if I've just ever done that the Bible way. I'm not sure. Preacher, would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. You put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? How about this morning? Brother Eddie, I know for a fact, no doubt in my mind, heaven's my home. I remember when I asked the Lord to save my soul, forgive me of my sins. But I'm afraid there's a little rebellion in my heart and in my life. I've been running. I don't even really know what from. Maybe I'm just afraid what God may ask me to do or want me to do. Preacher, pray that I'd just be obedient and find God's perfect will for my life. Hands are already up all over the building. Thank you for being honest. Thank you so much. Let's just pray together this morning. Father, as we come to you again this morning, Lord, we first of all personally need to apologize for being rebellious. Lord, you've had to pop my hand too many times. Lord, you'd think that over the years I'd learned just to go ahead and do what you said. It's always easier that way. But Lord, I want to thank you for grace and for mercy. Lord, for putting up with me this long. God, I just want to give you glory for that. Lord, thank you for the message this morning. Lord, it meant something to me. Lord, I pray it meant something to our people. You saw every hand that was raised this morning. You know every heart. God, I just pray you'd work with us and deal with us accordingly this morning. Have your way. Lord, answer every prayer. God, we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.